Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Michael Williams is back on the bench from the 19th Hole podcast on golf, WRX.com. You hear him on the bench a lot when we're talking about golf. Hey, Mike.
Hey, y'all heard? How you doing, buddy?
What's happening, brother? Everything good?
Oh, it's all good. You know, it's D.C., so it's steamy and controversial, as you've been talking about. You know, that's my other gig. I do politics on Voice of America. So you're in both my wheelhouses today. I'm ready.
Well, what do you think of that? What do you think of, like, the stuff I'm sitting here? What do you think of this guy getting involved in all, the president getting involved in all this stuff, and he just never stops? Like, it seems like, to me, it's like a distraction from his own problems that they're trying to bring him down, this Mueller guy. And then so instead, he goes around getting involved in all this other nonsense, like fighting with the NFL. And I think it's like banging his head against a wall. I don't know what purpose it serves.
You know, I have not had access to the window where you crawl around and get into his headspace and, you know, think about what he's thinking. Like you, I have dealt with the guy over the years, and I thought that he was going to be the next president or the next commissioner of the PGA Tour after Tim Fincham. I wrote an article a few years back saying that he would be the perfect guy to be the next one because he does do golf very, very well, and he knows the whole television thing, which is about 76% of the job is negotiating television rights. I thought that would have been the perfect job for him. I do think, Burrell, the leader of the free world is not an entry-level position. I think you probably ought to have, you know, a little experience, maybe school board or something, going into that whole thing. And so it's probably a little confusing as to what's important and what's not. When you're in that seat, probably every single thing thinks important. And when there's nobody to tell you that everything that you think is not important, well, then that becomes even a bigger problem.
You don't think that the NFL is listening to him or the players? Because the more he talks, the more they do it.
I think that they certainly listen to him and they respond to him, but they don't respond and bend to in the way that he would want them to. They're not capitulating to this thought that the players ought to stop this and that they're un-American, that sort of thing. Quite the contrary. I think that the more that he protests their protests, it brings into sharp contrast what really is the epitome of Americanism, which is this idea of free speech and being able to express your views, especially in a nonviolent way. So the more he does this, I think the more that he sort of puts himself in a set of political Chinese handcuffs. You know, the tighter he, the more he tries to get out of it, the tighter it ensnares him.
Do you think that he's gonna is gonna get worse before it gets better?
I do think it's going to get worse. I mean, you know Donald Trump, and you know that he is who he is. He's not going to change. You know, he's a 71, 72-year-old man. He's not going to change. He's going to become more and more entrenched in his views. And you know, in some ways, it does serve him well because amongst his base, you know, it gets stronger and stronger, and the affection and the ties to him grow deeper and deeper every time he tweets out this sort of thing. But, you know, when you're the president of the United States, you're president of, you know, the whatever percent that voted for you and also the percent that didn't. And I think that's the one thing he hasn't caught on to. You have to be president of the entire country, not just those that support you. So at some point, yeah, I think that it will sort of corrode his ability to lead the entire country. You can lead your base, but you have to lead the entire country.
What about how do you feel about his and I'm just going to ask one last question about him and then get into the PGA. What do you think about his, you know, he owns a lot of golf courses. Like, so yep. Bedminster, Ireland, Scotland, he's got them all over the world. And yep. He's all about, you know, land, property, condos, golf courses, resorts, you know, things of this nature. What do people in golf think of him? Because I know those people over in Europe hate him.
Yeah, okay, so tough to generalize, and I don't want to speak for the entire golf population. I would speak for the general golf media. Again, everybody's dealt with him and thinks you know, I worked with a number of guys who are like Donald Trump, and I think that the general feeling amongst the golf media is that this is a guy who has been sort of a seducer, you know, in his life. What he does is not only women, he seduces men, you know, to get into this deal, to get into this piece of property, to get into this thing. He manages to say exactly what he needs to say to do those things. So it's no surprise the way that he's governing, because everyone who's dealt with him has seen sort of that same thing. You know, he's sort of, in a way, when you're dealing with him and he's not doing anything that's super important, like, you know, diplomacy and nuclear weapons, he's sort of like this, you know, this slap on the back, funny kind of guy. But when you get into more serious things, you know, it's all that stuff takes on a different cast. And I think that, you know, the golf media, you know, doesn't take golf as seriously as it does the rest of the world and the rest of politics. And so we can sort of parse those things, two things out, into a guy who does golf very well and a guy who's really trying to find his feet as an international leader.
So what do you think? Michael Williams with us from the 19th Hole podcast. Do you think Gary Woodland, who's this big hitter, and he went out and got his round in today, that he can keep doing this all weekend?
Yeah, you know, that's a hard segue, man. I'm going to need a drink to handle that one. Double Michter.
I believe that.
Thank you. Yeah, Gary Woodland is a big hitter. He's known for having a big driver, and he used to be known for having this really short putter, man. If you ever saw him, he had like this 27-inch putter, and he looked like Michelle Wee with the tabletop thing, you know, for a while. And I know, try to sleep with that image.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Gary Woodland right now is playing like you need to play to win any major championship. He's hitting over 80% of his greens in regulation, and he's just bombing the ball out there. The greens are pretty soft, pretty slow, and receptive. So when you can be long and with your driver and accurate with your short iron, you're going to be at 10 under. Yeah, I picked the winner at 16 under going into this week on this type of golf course, because the PGA doesn't set it up like the USGA where they want to protect par and the whole thing. They want to see guys make birdies and eagles and that sort of thing. So, yeah, Gary Woodland is the type of guy who can hold on. But when you look at the pack of horses that's behind him, not likely that you'll see him on top of the leaderboard on Sunday.
So, I mean, the funny thing is like he's playing great and he's 10 under, but everyone's so far in his garage. They're so close. Kisner's one back, Koepka, two-time major winner, two back, DJ, and, you know, many others right there. I mean, the list of heavyweights in that, you know, in that range of 3 under to 10 under is insane.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that leaderboard is stocked. You got Molinari, who's only sort of 5 shots back. And you didn't mention him, but is there any more intriguing than Tiger right now, who's 3 under through 5 holes, I believe, you know, or through 8 holes. And, you know, he birdied three of his first four. I think no one was sorrier to see this rain delay than Tiger Woods, because he was hitting the ball as well as I've seen him hit it through this entire comeback phase. I mean, he was hitting it with confidence, finding fairways, draining putts to save par. I mean, this is a guy who could get himself by the end of the round to 7-8 under, you know, with 4 or 5 birdies on that back nine. So yeah, there are a lot of horses who have a lot of reasons to win. You had,
but how does he? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But how does he like pick up at 8 where he's, you know, 3 under in the round and playing so great? And then he's going to have to play 27 holes, but he's going to have to start at number 8. How do you go from being that hot to starting like that on number 8 and then going for that many holes in one day in that steamy 100-degree weather?
Yeah, again, I think that's where the age of the man, you know, like they say, Father Time is undefeated. So it's going to be very difficult for him to play. Those last 9 are going to be tough for him. And this is where we'll see not only how the back, but just his overall stamina, how that holds up through those last 9 rounds. You know, 30-year-old Tiger, no problem. He'll play those 27 and be ready to play another 27. 42, 43-year-old Tiger, quite another thing. But I think for that first 9, I think, yeah, he has a position. He's in a position to finish his second round tomorrow in a really good position. Now, whether he can carry that through and play another 18 at that level, that remains to be seen.
What's the – Michael Williams with us from the 19th Hole podcast on golf, WRX.com. What is – the weather's supposed to be like for the weekend?
Same thing. I mean, we have storm cells moving through, and it depends on how they hit, if they actually hit and move through, or if they hit and decide to settle. So they're just going to be looking at the radar all weekend long. You know, no one wants to see, you know, these guys have to play 36 on Sunday or something like that. You know, but this is this is St. Louis in the summertime. You know, this is the what plagues actually the PGA Championship when they play it in August. You get these courses that you play, no matter where you play them in the United States, you're going to get this issue of having these rain delays because that's what August is across the United States. Now, they're moving the championship to May as of next year, partly because of that reason, because you have better weather systems and you can actually play a major championship in Florida. I mean, you got 57 million golfers or something, you know, in Florida, and you don't have a major championship played there. In May, when you hold the championship in May, you'll be able to do that. So they'll be looking at the weather, you know, trying to do their best. They'll squeeze in as much as they can, you know, and you crush fingers, you know, pray to God that you get the tournament in before it gets dark on Sunday.
So I got 1 minute left, respectfully. After all this is said and done, who do you think pokes through and wins it?
You know, at this point where he's playing, I like DJ. DJ has so much horsepower, and he has the ability to get hot. When these slow greens, you know, these are the types of greens where you really just sort of see it, be it, you know, and hit it at the hole. There's not as much break in them because they're playing slower. So I look like the combination of DJ's length, his extraordinary wedge play, and the fact those slower greens sort of really fit his putting style. I see DJ as my favorite to finish this one as the winner. Brooks Koepka.
All right, cool. Yeah, I like Koepka too. And Kisner's playing great golf. We'll see what he does over the weekend. I'm kind of rooting for Ricky to finally break through because he always ends up on the short end of it. But I can't wait to see it. Hopefully the weather will hold up and we'll get it all in. I'm sure we will at some point or another by Sunday. Mike, great stuff. Thanks for coming in and talking about the PGA Championship with us. Enjoy the golf this weekend.
Yeah, you too, brother. Always good to be on the show. I appreciate it.
My man, Michael Williams, 19th Hole Podcast on golf. WRX.com. He's a regular on the bench.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.